Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to a special episode of Just My Archetype. I say special because we have the first guest from my season of Survivor, season 33. We have, you know, the first guest that played while he was still in high school. Not that there were a line of guests that played in high school waiting. I'm so excited. I was thinking, who should I have on for my season? What should we talk about? And I thought, you know what would be a really interesting one? Let's get Young Will on the podcast. That's what we called him back in the day. He was 18 years old when he played Survivor and had not graduated high school yet. He is now in his second year of law school at Wake Forest University. He's 24, which is the age I was when I played Survivor. Please welcome Will Wall to the podcast. Welcome, Will.
Hey, Hannah. How's it going?
It's going well. I didn't know. I was like, I want someone from 33 on, but I feel like I have, you know, talked and podcasted with our cast endlessly, and I didn't know what to do. And then I thought, you know what? Let's have Will on as the teenager archetype. I think it'll be fun.
I love it. I'm honored to be representing the teenagers who played this game, and yeah, ready to get into it.
I think I'm especially excited because it's been five-ish years since the show. And I think it's one thing to like do the show at 18 and maybe do an interview after or podcast after. But now you're 24 and you get to reflect back on doing it as a teenager. And I feel like I know you well. You're a very thoughtful guy. You process things in your own time. I feel like you've probably evolved some of your viewpoints from when you were 18 and did the show.
Absolutely. I feel like every couple months, I just kind of think back through everything that happened and I evolve a little more. And yeah, my perspective on the whole experience has changed immensely since right after I played the game, even just from a year ago, thinking about the experience, it really has continuously evolved.
I mean, if I had done the show at 18, it would have been a mess. Like I think, you know, you should be really proud that you like kept a level head and played Survivor at 18. Because I would have gone out there and just immediately pissed my pants.
I mean,
like, I would never have been able to do it in high school.
Yeah, internally, it was terrifying. You know, first time I saw Jeff Probst when we were up on the beach, all in that line and looking around at the other contestants, I was terrified. But at the end of the day, it was a dream of mine. It was something I was always looking forward to. So I tried to hold on to the excitement rather than the fear for as much as I could.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we all can relate to that. There's something about, I think at 18, and I said this to you, I thought I was more interesting and more of an adult than I actually was. And also probably the same thing at 24 and the same thing now. But I feel like that version of me that thought that would have struggled on Survivor.
It definitely was a struggle. You know, I look back at what I was at 18 and how I thought of myself. And yeah, there definitely was a huge disparity there. And I think I did well enough for an 18-year-old, but I certainly did think of myself in a very different light, and it was very eye-opening to see the show back and to see how I was portrayed, but also in a very realistic way, too, how I was at that age in my life. And Yeah, it's very different than how I see myself now. And you're right, probably 5 years from now, I'm going to see myself in a very different way than I was at 24.
I mean, you hope as a person you keep evolving. There's just something between the that happens between the ages of 18 and 24, whether you go to college or you don't. It's an age where you have an opportunity for a lot of growth. Because you're not like a preteen. You are an adult technically, but you're also not. I mean, you literally are not. The country says you can't drink.
Yeah.
But you are technically a legal adult. So like even the laws don't know whether to consider an 18-year-old a fully fledged human or not.
Yeah, no, soft drinks for Will, for sure. It certainly, I don't know, 18, it was a weird age for me, for sure. And I think Survivor forced me to grow up in a way that I don't know if I would have without Survivor. Like, yes, there's still college and things like that, but it was a really big kind of push, right? I had grown up in the same small town my whole life. I grew up in the same environment, knowing the same people, and to really kind of take that leap, it forced me to grow probably 3-4 years worth of growth all over the course of a couple of weeks. And that was immense.
We'll get into it, but I want to start at the beginning. Cause I always ask people like, when did you find this show? And like all that, but you were 18 when you got on the show. So I'll ask that within the context of like that, but when did you start watching Survivor and how did you decide to be on the show?
Yeah. It was actually, do you remember Timbertina from Survivor Panama?
No.
She's the first boot from Survivor Panama. And she was the one who got me into the show because she had a Lumberjill show up in Maine where my family used to vacation every summer. And
that's hilarious.
She talked about her Survivor experience and how she said, she's like, if you ever get on a reality show, be the first one out because then you get a paid vacation. I didn't listen to that advice, but it certainly got me into Survivor, got me excited about it. I was like, this sounds like such a cool concept. And that was
how old were you?
I was probably about fifth grade. Yeah. And I really started to get into the show at that point. At first, my parents were like, this may be a little too adult themes for you at fifth grade. But a couple years later, I really jumped deep. I think Redemption Island was the first season that I really watched all the way through. And, you know, I know a lot of fans don't like Redemption Island, but it has a special place in my heart. First season I watched, and it was Malcolm a couple seasons later. That was when I transitioned from, wow, I love this show, to, wow, I want to be on the show.
Okay. Yeah. No, well, I feel like everyone has a character that makes them think way. I'm not surprised. Malcolm is very funny and dynamic. But for me, the characters that made me want to be on this show were probably a little different than Malcolm. They were like, yeah, they were like Sophie Clark or, you know, Shireen or, you know, that vein of person.
I think Malcolm represented what I wanted to be, not what I necessarily was. And I think that's probably the best way of looking at it. I don't really know what character I was most similar to. Maybe like a Spencer from Survivor Token Chains, if you remember being just 18 by proxy. And I think him and I had very similar trajectory of trying to make moves happen and them not really working out too well. But probably more like him if you really try to find a comparison.
Yeah, who you want to be versus who you are. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, poverty made me want to play Survivor, but I'm not poverty. So at what point were you underage when you start getting cast? Like, how do you get cast as an 18-year-old? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah,
so I know ours was an age season, so I'm sure that was a part of it.
Yeah, so this was an era before Jeff Probst was coming on TV asking 16-year-olds to apply. So I did not apply before I turned 18. It was something, however, I did start planning before I was 18. It was around 16 years old that I really started jumping into it. I started writing out a script about what I was going to say and do. I started to look at other videos for inspiration. My audition tape is very similar to Shane Powers. I took a lot of inspiration from Shane Powers. If you haven't seen his audition tape, it's hilarious. He's shirtless the entire time. He's brushing his teeth. He's walking around his house. And I did pretty similar of an idea, just kind of changed some things and made it more of an 18-year-old version. I started listening to podcasts too, listening to casts. I applied the exact same week the cast did. I listened to Dan Giesling, a former Big Brother winner, who really talked about how to get cast on reality television. So really my main focus was not necessarily even how to win, but how do I stand out? How do I get cast on the show? And I was planning at the age of 16. So by the time I turned 18, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, when I was going to apply, how I was going to apply. And that's kind of where I struck gold a little bit. And it took a little while, right? I applied in November of 2015. Our season filmed in spring of 2016.
I think a lot of people would dislike you for saying it took a while when you got on the show at 18.
Okay. Fair. It took a while from my perspective because I applied and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a call back in a week. And that didn't happen. It took a couple months. I think I wouldn't be surprised if I was like the last person they picked up right before finals in LA.
I mean, to be clear, and I'm not taking away from your fantastic Shane Powers impersonation, yeah, but you also did luck out a little bit in that they were casting, and so did I. This is not, I'm not removing myself from this. They were casting an age specific season. So would they have wanted like someone still in high school, an 18-year-old for HHH? Probably not. But did they want that for, did they want the story of someone that young for an age season? Like, absolutely. I'm curious. I've met your mom. Your mom was your family visit. She visited camp. I calmed your mom down quite a bit. I feel like partly responsible for why she didn't pull you from the game immediately after seeing you. I like was like, he's okay. Like, he's doing great. Like, we're all taking care of him. How did you get your parents on board to sign yourself away during high school?
They were not on board. Well, my dad was more so on board. My mom was not on board. I basically, when I said I was going to apply, she was like, no, you're not going to apply. And I basically told her, there's no way, Mom, I'm ever going to get cast on Survivor. It'll never happen. It's fine. You know, you don't have to worry about it.
It's a fair pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm doing this for fun, you know, and then a couple years from now, maybe it'll work out, but I'm just doing it for fun. She did not appreciate when CBS was calling me trying to get me to come out there. But at that point, I think the wheels were in motion and it was a little too late to stop the train there.
So parenting advice, don't listen to your kid when they're like, don't worry, they're not going to want me. Like, the wheels would then be in motion suddenly. I just like, you had, it's one thing to be an 18-year-old who's graduated high school, like freshman year of college, that sort of thing. You hadn't graduated high school. Like, can you, like, what are some things, just to give people context, you had not done yet when you got, when you started getting cast to be on national television on Survivor? Like, what are just, give some context for a young 18-year-old, Will.
Yeah.
You hadn't gone to prom yet.
I had not gone to senior prom yet. Yeah, that was the big one. I had not ever, I mean, I haven't gone to college, obviously. This is kind of a Jersey specific one, but I never pumped my own gas because we don't pump our own gas in Jersey, and I never lived or been outside of that state, really. What else have I never done?
Had you had your first kiss yet when you went on Survivor, Will?
Yes, I had my first kiss. I did have my first
kiss. Had you had your first girlfriend yet, Will, when you were on Survivor?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so young Will, ahead of young Hannah at 18. Maybe this is why you did okay and I would have pissed my pants. Maybe you were slightly ahead, but you had never pumped your own gas.
No.
You probably had never looked at taxes if you had won the money. Yeah, never looked at,
I would have been like Richard Hatch. Something would have happened. I didn't know how to do taxes.
Had you taken your SATs? Yeah, that's junior year.
Yes, I took my SATs.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So for all curious, he had taken his SATs. Okay, so you find yourself in finals casting at 18. Were you aware that, like, I know you felt like you waited forever, as you said, but were you aware that this was, like, insane that you were 18 being cast on Survivor?
Oh, yeah. No, it didn't hit me until, because I got the call to go to finals casting when I was in Haiti, and I had a week in between my mission trip in Haiti and going to finals week of casting. And that whole week was just a series of panic attacks because increasing in intensity, because I started to realize closer to finals that, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. And I remember going out of English class and just talking to my English teacher, freaking out about it and having to get like calmed down because it was so surreal. Like how is this happening to me? I am just a random teenager from a small town in Jersey going to Los Angeles in a couple of days. I'd never been to California before. And now I'm going to be meeting Jeff Probst and all these different producers. And it was insane.
And you were talking to your English teacher because you were a child. And for the listener who thinks I'm maybe being harsh or something about 18 and young Will. I think very highly of young Will. Like I've always said this. I think when people ask me if there's someone who their edit didn't reflect fully who they are, the only person from our cast, maybe there's two, maybe young Will. And I think Sunday could have had a fuller story as well. But when it comes to young Will, I usually say young Will, because I think, you know, I thought you were very thoughtful and very open and like a very good listener. And we can get into all this. So when I'm giving him shit, it's just because he was freaking out to his English teacher about Survivor. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Hannah and I are close, everybody. So, yeah, no offense taken. No, this is 5 years of me knowing Hannah. So
what was your English teacher's name?
Oh, Mr. Condren.
What advice did Mr. Condren give 18-year-old Will?
He was a very stoic man. He just listened to me. He took it all in, and he was more so just kind of the calming presence that I needed. It wasn't necessarily advice. It was just kind of one of those people who's just such a good listener, and just talking to him makes you feel better about yourself. So it definitely made me feel better. And then the next panic attack probably happened a half an hour later, because it was a crazy time. It was a crazy time for sure.
So I know you were nervous. Like we were all like every person who starts getting cast on Survivor, even if you have convinced yourself you're going to do it, is probably like, holy shit, this is happening. I can't believe it. But how much of that had to do with your age specifically? How much of it had to do with the fact that you were still in high school and you were like, oh, I'm still in high school and I'm doing this?
I think a lot of it. You know, if I was going through the casting process now at 24, I think I'm much more confident in myself and who I am as a person, my identity, and everything about who I am. Whereas an 18-year-old, I had to try to fake it till I made it. I am still trying to find out who I am as a person. I needed to pretend to be this confident. I mean, and I did have confidence, but I needed to really be sure of who I was, because if there was even an inkling of wavering there, I knew I wouldn't get on the show, because the people who get on Survivor are people who know themselves well. That's something Jeff Probst really looks for in people. And I wanted to make sure that I wanted to think very intentionally about who I was as a person and how that fit into the Survivor story and archetype, but also just so that they felt confident in casting me.
No, that's absolutely true. I feel like even the most, you know, self-deprecating, nervous, whatever type of person goes in and knows who they are. Or they cast people who think they know who they are, and the disconnect between who they actually are and who they think they are is where the comedy comes from and the, you know, the Survivor element comes from. But that's so true that at 18, you're like, I don't know. And that's not to say there are some 50-year-olds who don't know who they are and some 18-year-olds that have a really good sense of self. But overall, those are exceptions to the rules. And at 18, you're going to be faking it to some extent, which is fine. If you think you know who you are at 18, you probably don't.
Amen to that. Because I think at the time I thought I did know who I was, but I was lying to myself.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So who did you think you were at 18 when you were going on Survivor? Do you remember, if you think back, because you're 24 now and you're still young, but who did you think you were?
Oh, boy. I probably thought I was some kind of cross between Spencer Bledsoe and like a nice Russell Hantz. Like, I didn't want to be like a jerk to people, like real life kind of thing, but I wanted to be like that kind of backstabbing. Like, maybe Sandra's a better example, because Sandra, you know, kind of had that streak where she'll burn your hat in the fire, but she still was nice and friendly to your face, you know. And I think that was how I thought of myself. So very lofty, right? Two very amazing players of the game. And I think that obviously wasn't the case, but I definitely had that kind of lofty expectation for myself.
And Survivor aside, who did you think you were as a person at 18?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
no, I like both answers. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of person I thought I was when I was 18? I thought that I was somebody who was reliable, empathetic, would be a good listener, somebody who could be social when I needed to be, introverted. I don't know if I came to terms with the fact that I was more introverted at that point. I think I was still trying to convince myself I was an extrovert, but I knew that I could definitely, if I could build bonds with people, those bonds could last a lifetime. And that's really who I thought of myself as a person, kind of very relationship oriented.
Mm-hmm. Is there any casting moment that stands out to you looking back where you're like, now at 24, you think, oh, they were teasing an 18-year-old a little. Like they were, this is a moment that I was clearly a teenager. Where at the time, maybe you genuinely thought, oh, this is great. And looking back, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think it was, they got into me a little bit with tattoos, which is ironic because I said that I would never get a tattoo in casting. I have a tattoo now, ironically. But I said at the time that I would never get a tattoo. And they were like, well, is that because you're afraid of commitment? And I froze. I was like, I never thought of it like that. And I think at the time, I don't even remember what my answer was to that. But I remember going out of it thinking, oh, yeah, I think I answered that great. Meanwhile, looking back on it, I'm sure I was so flustered in that moment because that was just kind of a gotcha. Like, never really thought of it like that. So that's one moment.
What's your tattoo?
Yeah, my tattoo. It's a Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11. It's actually the same Bible verse that I had on the necklace I wore on the show and broke off. So that necklace, I don't know. I don't think it was ever on the show, but the necklace broke off and Jeff was able to find it for me and get it back to me. However, at that point, I was like, I may lose this thing again. I don't trust the chain to hold up. I'm just going to get a tattoo of it. So when I was 21 on my 21st birthday, I ended up getting the tattoo.
The thing you said you'd never do.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So this is cool. Usually when I talk about like the show itself, I ask people who I wasn't on the show with. So it's kind of fun that we get to like, not reminisce, but reminisce a little. Cause yeah, I remember standing in front of Probst. I remember all that. And I remember he right away, and you had talked to him before the show started, said that you were going to be open about still being in high school, but you right away came out as a high school student.
Yeah, it was a big mistake. I should have tried to, and this is a recommendation for anybody who's a teenager who goes on. I think doing the Michael strategy of lying about your age is probably a better bet. I think Julia did the same thing too.
Michael has an advantage in that he looked like a CW teen. He looked like a teen that was on Riverdale, like a 26-year-old playing a teenager. So in fairness to you, you looked much more like a high school student than Michael Urier.
Very fair. Very fair. I think I might have been able to stretch it to like maybe 20, I think was probably.
I think if you had said you were a 20-year-old college student, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But the thing about lying, because I actually have sort of opposite advice. Obviously, if you're in high school, we'll get into why that was ended up being a mistake for young Will. But the thing about lying is if you lie about one little thing, there's a web of lies off that lie that you have to think about. Like Zeke, he lied about where he went to college. He went to Harvard, but he said he went to NYU. Zeke knows a ton about NYU, dorms, everything, because he has friends who went there. He lived in New York. But it's a lot of lies. Instead of saying my parents went to Harvard, I said they met at BU. And that one lie stressed me out so much, and nobody cared.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. It has to be lies that are necessary. I feel like people try to unnecessarily lie too much in the game. I do think lying about your age if you're 18, though, that I think is a necessary lie.
No, it's fair. But here's what you do. Get really drunk before you go out there and see if you can still maintain the lie. Because if you're sleep deprived and really hungry, it's sort of like being drunk or high or something like that. So you have to be able to lie intoxicated in detail. That would be my advice.
And if
my advice to 18-year-olds shouldn't be drunk. Hold on a second.
If you're... We can save it.
I meant in general. I just meant in general about a lie. If you're 18, don't get drunk. Don't do drugs, kids. If you're 18, what you should do if you're going to lie is have people ask you rapid fire questions about what your lie is, you know, like really test it. Because what I'm just trying to say is it's harder to maintain a lie. Oh, boy, I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, so you immediately get outed as a high school student, and it does affect everything, essentially, moving forward.
Yeah, it really does. Being a high school student out on the island, it definitely, and being open about being a high school student, it definitely made me a little nervous at the beginning. I mean, made me a lot nervous, right?
Yeah.
I was terrified about being the first one voted out, as we all are. I think that's a common fear. But for me,
especially on a new player season, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I think for me, it was a matter of seeing how I could play the 18-year-old card. Like, could I garner sympathy because I'm such a big super fan? They're not going to want to vote out the kid who's a super fan. Is it a way for me to be like, hey, I'll kind of be, you know, a vote for you, which is basically what happened with Jay and I. I was a vote for him. You know, I was willing to work with him and he knew that. Or is it something where maybe I could bond with people who are a little younger? I think, like, was the next youngest person on the cast 23? I did not know that ahead of time. I think that might have changed my strategy a little bit, but
I think Adam and I were both 24.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there was someone younger. But I mean, we were a young tribe. We were the young tribe, specifically the millennials at the time. You didn't have like a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old. I believe it was all college graduates other than you. I think everyone had graduated college.
That was definitely a shocker for me, especially just like looking around. I was like, oh, there has to be like somebody in college, somebody that I can bond with. But something else I tried to really do is play up to different people's emotions, right? When we were on Ikabula, this was something I tried to do by playing kind of the son role or the nephew role or whatever kind of role for Brett and Sunday, right? We had two older people in the tribe. I was like, oh, I could kind of play that son, nephew, kind of young person in the family kind of role for them. And I tried to play kind of the younger brother role for a lot of different people on our tribe, on Vanuar, the millennial tribe, because I thought that that would ingratiate me in probably quicker than most ways because it plays to that emotion. Right, it plays to the emotional.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, I think Will and I, despite me being 24, had a similar thought process in that. I mean, I let Sunday tie my shoes once because I was like, yeah, this makes sense. I can be this role. And in fairness to Will and I, before you get to the other edge of that sword, like we weren't going home for a while. We talked about once on our swap tribe, if we had gone to every tribal, I think it would have been Will and I at the end. Jay's idol aside, that would have complicated things. But we were pretty snug in the middle of a lot of things.
Yeah. I think you, me, and Michaela, too. I think it was just very snug. And the other edge of the sword, though, and I think where you were going with it is... that hurts you at the end. That hurts you with jury votes. That hurts you with the end game and trying to control where the votes are going. I felt like a passenger, I guess, in a lot of these different votes where I was trying to kind of control the narrative, but I was finding that my voice might have not, it wasn't being heard as much as other people's voices who might have had more of a dominant position in the alliance, where I was more so, I was in the alliance and nobody was coming for me, but I definitely wasn't that driving force.
But I do think it's interesting that I mean, you had a large portion of the jury say that they would have never voted for you to win because you were 18, and giving $1 million to an 18-year-old they didn't support. And I understand that in theory. I don't think I would have been in that camp, but you did have people say that after, which seems more important than, yeah.
That was something that stuck with me for a very long time. Like that, and now as 24, I can kind of understand where they're coming from. But at 18, hearing that, that messed me up for a very long time, because that was something where I felt like I just wasted 34 days of my life away from my family, my friends, starving on this island, playing a game I could never win, because I didn't care about being on TV. TV had no bearing to me. I didn't care about being some kind of big storytelling piece. I cared about the game. I cared about winning. And to be told that I just starved myself on an island playing a game that I had no chance of winning from day one, that hurt. Like, that hurt real bad.
In my mind, and, you know, people have different views, I think it's a TV show first and it's a game second. And I wonder if with some space you see that a little bit more clearly, or if you still maintain that it's a game first.
I think that I can recognize that it's a show first, but there's a part of me that really wants to hold on to that childhood view that it's a game. You know, and I can recognize that that's an emotional argument and it's probably an incorrect losing battle, but I do want to hold on to that view of Survivor as it's this pure game and not a TV show, because I love it so much. I love the game. So,
you know, it's interesting because we'll get into the aftermath, and you kind of have touched on it here, but understanding that it's a TV show first and a game second actually helped me after the show, because I realized, in understanding that it's not just this pure game, but it's a television show with different elements and storytelling and all this stuff, it helped me sort of put in context my experience and, you know, how my choices and things were a part of a much larger puzzle. So it's interesting to you that you like want to hold on to the thing of it being a game, where for me, understanding this broader story was such a relief overall.
No, that's fair. And I could see how that could be a relief. I don't know if that would necessarily be a relief for me, just because I had no care to be on TV. Like, that just wasn't anything that really computed in my head. So I even now, it's like weird to think that I was on TV, because that wasn't the purpose of me going on. So that's why I think of it more so in terms of a game.
When you look back on it, you know, not votes or any of that, but what are your memories of what are the things that you still remember at 24 being this teenager out on Survivor?
Yeah, I remember Ikabula really well.
How could you not?
Yeah, the pain, the bugs, the hunger.
So for those who forget, when we did our swap beach, we were the one that had to start over from nothing. But it wasn't just starting over from nothing. It was, we were on a beach where instead of a beautiful beach, all of production was suddenly in bug nets. They were in like head-to-toe netting. Unless the tide came in and sent the bugs away, we couldn't sleep because the bugs were so bad. It was a wasteland. It was terrible. I just wanted to give context for those who may have forgotten. The nightmare we'll never forget.
Yeah, it was a trip. And I don't know. I don't know if they ever use that beach again, because that was just terrible. But
terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's definitely something that's very vivid in my memory. I think the loved ones visit, for sure. Having your loved one out there, having my mom out there.
I remember your mom being out there, because I remember she came to camp and she was so sweet and like nervous for you, which any parent would be about their 18-year-old. And what did she say when you got home? What did she say about who she thought was going to win?
Oh, about who she thought was going to win?
Yeah, I remember what you told me she said.
Oh, I don't remember this.
You told me she was like, she thought Adam or I was going to win.
Okay.
Your mom would have been an excellent Survivor player. No, I'm not even kidding. She was of all the people she met, and she met me briefly, and she spent longer with Adam because he went on the thing. She was like, oh, I thought one of those two people.
My mom would play an amazing social game. She would rock it.
See, she saw through everything. Yeah. She was like, it's going to be one of those two annoying 24-year-olds.
I think it's the bugs that would get her, though. That's something else I remember very vividly. Waking up in the middle of the night with a crab like attached to my leg and freaking out because David told me it was a snake. Very short anecdote, but that freaked me out. And then I remember Ken was like, Will, why'd you jump? You almost like kicked away our dinner. I'm like, because David told me it was a snake. I didn't think it was a crab.
You told me something that I need on the podcast, which was you please tell this story of the Ikabula Swap Beach because it blew my mind.
Yeah. So it was a very like clear night. The moon was very bright, so I could see everything at night. And I was just struggling to sleep as we all were on Ikabula. So I got up and decided to go for a little walk. Maybe it'd like tire me out and I go back to bed. So I walked around kind of this little corner we had with a bunch of rocks and I just kept walking. I was like, okay, next thing I know, I see in the distance, a little like village full of lights.
Mm-hmm. Insane.
Okay. So here's the thing, Hannah.
Okay. You think you hallucinated it. Don't you dare.
Part of me thinks I did, but then I did a little bit of research for this podcast.
Oh my gosh.
I found the island and I think I found the village. Now, I'm not going to say what island it was on because Jeff would hate me.
Yeah.
Jeff would hate me.
And you don't want future contestants. They're still in Fiji. You don't want them to look for this village.
Yeah. No.
How close till you saw the village?
I didn't get anywhere near it because in my high school brain, like I was the obedient high school kid. I was like, I'm going to get kicked off the show. So I ran back as soon as I saw any sign of like lights. I was like, nope. And I went right back.
I don't know what Jeff in production would have done if they had found you like chilling with some Fijians.
I don't know, but I was the obedient kid. I never wanted Jeff to be mad at me. I didn't want, no. I was like, I'm going right back to camp.
That is so wild.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing that they do so well is they really make you feel like you're on a deserted island away from any civilization. They find these beaches and you're not supposed to like, you don't wander past a certain point. And I mean, I remember we were headed to a challenge one time and the challenge happened to be near where production was like headquarters, like there. And I could smell the barbecue and I could hear music when we got off the boat to go to this challenge. And it was so jarring. I was like, oh my God, people are eating and dancing. And you said Jay was there too, or maybe you hallucinated that.
I think he might have been. I don't remember that. It was too long ago. I thought maybe it wasn't that Jay was with me, but maybe we talked about it later and he also found it or something like that. I don't know. Memory is too faded.
Oh gosh. I don't think I would have gone into the village either. No. If it makes you feel any better. It's not, it was, yeah. You don't want to get in trouble.
No. And like I said, my high school brain, I was following the rules. Before we got on the beach, the one thing I kept getting told was, Will, why are you not talking to people? Why are you not interacting with people? Because you're not allowed to talk, but like people kind of talk with their eyes. They talk with their facial expressions.
Yes.
But I never did. I would never make eye contact. I would never react to what other people were doing. And like somebody pulled me aside, like Jeff pulled me aside and was like, Will, why are you, like, people have been coming up to us and saying that you're like being very cold to people. And I was like, but you told me not to react to people or talk to people
that's
or do anything.
So funny.
I just was very much in this obedient mind. So whenever I did anything that I thought might be considered bad or like breaking the rules or stretching the rules, I was like, nope, turning the other way. Got to go back to
I don't remember you in pregame, actually, now that I think about it.
Apparently Zeke made me laugh and he told me that was the highlight of his pregame or one of the highlights, because apparently I didn't react to anybody and I didn't know I was giving off that kind of cold impression.
Yeah, no, it's wild how many years ago it is now. And like, I was just curious what you remembered. Did people feel older than you at the time? Like, did you feel like these are adults and I'm a high school student, or did that go away?
That went away pretty quickly, actually. I think at the very beginning, maybe a little bit, but it quickly became, I think honestly what helped me is that my family is a lot older, right? Like I'm an only child. Okay. All my cousins are a lot older than me. They're in their 30s and 40s now. They were in their 20s and 30s like when I was on the show. So I was used to people being older than me and interacting with older people. So it didn't really feel weird. It felt like I was interacting with my family. You all quickly became a family to me. And I think that's kind of the experience a lot of people have. So for me, it worked out well. But I think for people like teenagers who don't have experiences interacting with older people, I think that could be a huge issue for sure.
Yeah. Did Jeff, when you first got out there, were there a lot of questions about being 18 and being a high school student? I mean, I know it was an age split, so that makes sense that there would be.
Yeah, absolutely. There was definitely a lot of questions both during casting and on the show. And I think that really kind of shaped my perspective of where this season was going to go even before I found out it was age divided. And then when I found out it was, I was able to really kind of navigate it a little better because I kind of had that impression going into mm-hmm. it that it was age divided. And in the beginning, Jeff did ask a lot of questions about me being a high school student, being a teenager, how that would impact my game. How did he think I'd interact with the older people on my tribe, but also older people on the other tribe who were the Gen Xers and things of that nature too, just kind of how my age was going to impact my game, both socially as well as just mentally.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much. I mean, we're looking at it through the lens of you being a teenager, because this is an archetype pod and I am curious specifically about the teenage archetype, but so much has to do with just like when the starvation hits you and, mm-hmm. and different things like that. Like I remember when, by the time your mom came, you were in rough shape. I remember that specifically. You were in really, your eyes had become hollow. Yeah. And like you looked a little like a zombie. But then again, like Michelle from our season, that happened to her right at the merge. A lot of the reason she potentially went out when she did was because the coconuts made her sick. So she really wasn't eating anything. And so the zombie sort of starvation thing hit her earlier. But I remember, and I think when you became a zombie, it also reminded me that you were 18. Not in a bad way, but just like, oh my God, I'm worried about this kid. I'm worried about him. Yeah. He's lost life in his eyes.
I remember when that happened, like probably around day 30, like right before the loved one visit. So I think, you clocked it right when it happened. Cause I remember day 30 being really intense. And was day 30 the rock draw? It was like right around the rock draw that
could put a gun to my head and I wouldn't be able to tell you.
but it was around that time. It was like the last couple of days I was there. And
actually, you know what? I can, because the rock tribal had happened like right before the family visit, because I remember the families learning about the rock stuff.
That's right. Yeah. But it was right around that time that, and it got to the point where I thought I was like, not hearing things, but when other people would talk on the island, like when you would talk or when Jay or Adam would talk, if I wasn't looking directly at you, I would hear voices, like other voices, like people from back home, like loved ones I was missing. And it really kind of put my head in a really weird headspace.
I remember you hitting a wall physically, and meant I could see it. And that's when, too, you being 18 really came into play for me. I was like, because I mean, I was 24. It's not like I was like a 45-year-old mother, but like I remember, because I felt like your older sister a little bit. And whether that was a strategy thing or just because we all became friends and you were young and I taught you how to snorkel and I like whatever it is, which was a good memory. Like you're rarely off camera, especially when you're with another person. But the camera guy like couldn't stay out in the water with us. Like he was having, I don't remember why he was having some trouble. So he swam in and was like, just don't talk about the game. And so Will and I, for like, I don't know how long, we didn't have clocks, but like probably like an hour just like snorkeled together off camera.
That's one of my favorite.
I remember that. Yeah. It's one of my favorite memories too. But yeah, I remember you hitting that wall. And it was scary, especially considering you were 18. And maybe you understand that better now being 24.
Yeah, I do. And I think that's a big part of the reason why I was voted out too. And I think it's interesting you mentioned Michelle, because I didn't know all the details there too. And I think when you hit that wall, it definitely, if you break physically, then that really can lead to your elimination pretty quickly after. You do
physically
see sometimes,
or mentally, you know, like but either one, but like it's very apparent to other people, even the starving, even we were hungry too and tired, but like, I remember you hitting that wall. And now looking back too, because I remember at the time, I remember talking to this at 18. I was like, because, you know, you talked to me about how Jeff was asking you questions about the jury laughing at you and all these things before you made your big play, you know, whatever. And I, again, this is not really a strategy podcast, but I'm curious if looking back, you maybe recognize some of like your 18-year-old self versus your 24-year-old self. And like, as an 18-year-old being told, or being questioned about, you know, getting credit and all this stuff versus you at 24 recognizing like maybe some patience and all these things would have worked. Do you see that differently now?
Oh, absolutely.
Not the specifics of the game move, but yeah, the headspace that Jeff questioned you about and you were definitely in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about confidence. And I think I really started to have my confidence shaken towards the end. And I was getting really nervous about what did my end game look like, because I was lacking that confidence as an 18-year-old. I didn't have that self-assurance that I think I needed and that I do have now. I wish I could play Survivor now and with the knowledge I have and this kind of self-assurance I have, because I feel like that kind of issue wouldn't happen. I think if I was eliminated, it'd be for very different reasons than what it was when I was 18, which it really boiled down to me just being insecure. I think that was really what it came to, fear and insecurity.
Yeah, I only ask because I usually don't talk about strategy, but it feels like a lot of that just all tied into you being a teenager and like being out there as a teenager. And obviously people could be like, well, Hannah, maybe you should have had a little bit more insecurity about stuff, but like people are wrong going into the end or going, but you still, someone's right. And if that person doubts everything, then, you know, yeah. Are there any other things you want to say about like your the timeout? Cause we're going to jump into the after of the game. And I also, people were really nice, sent in questions as they always do, which is great. But is there anything else about like your time out there that like you see differently now through the lens of being 24 versus a teen?
I don't know. I think we covered it all.
Yeah.
I think we covered a good amount of it because I think everything else comes after.
Yeah. And like, honestly, because I feel like we might get this, but I also feel this way, like, I'm not saying 24 is your most fully formed self either. Like me at 24 is also not me today, but it just, there is something, the gap between 18 and 24 is big. At the same time, like I feel like at 18, even you were more thoughtful and a better listener and like more level headed than some of the older people that you played with. I can say as someone who was out there with you.
I think that's one of the reasons why I lasted as long as I did. Because I did have, it was all social game. I didn't make it because of my strategic or my physical. It was all just social. And that's what I played to. I really cared about the people out there. I really made bonds out there. So.
Yeah. I also feel like, you know, when we're talking about you at 18, that's not to say that other people weren't fucking around completely and like had, like I had my flaws and like everyone did. So it's not, I'm not picking on 18-year-old you. I just think we rarely get the chance to be captured at one age, have time pass, and then get to reflect back on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my 18-year-old self is immortalized and it's kind of terrifying, but also it works. I think it's a good reflection for myself and a good tool to grow.
I feel like you and I got along very well because we were both pretty young in spirit.
Yeah.
And age.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I think I definitely got along with a lot of people in the tribe, but I think, yeah, we definitely did get along. We related to each other in a lot of ways.
For sure. Yeah, it is. It's fun to reminisce just because even though I wasn't 18 when I was on the show, I still feel like I was immortalized in a very specific time in my life. I feel like when people say they're rewatching Survivor during quarantine, I'm like, cool, cool, cool. Yeah. All right. Enjoy meeting 24-year-old me.
Yeah. That always terrifies me when people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to go watch your season. I'm like, I've changed. I promise. I'm no longer the 18-year-old you see on the screen.
I mean, it's interesting because people find Survivor when they do. And even if they watch it like 5 years later, and they understand logically it's 5 years later, I feel like people still don't fully process what it means that there are actual humans behind these people and that this is like a moment in time that's being captured.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that really is kind of the big disconnect. And even as a fan of the show before I went out there, it's like you realize they're real people, but there is a disconnect. Like, part of your brain is hard to really make that logical leap to these are real human beings out there, and they're putting a whole part of themselves out into the world, and it's very vulnerable for a lot of people. And I've had to realize that too while watching like reality television. I'm a big fan of Hell's Kitchen, and I've been watching like the most recent season, The Young Guns, which is all ironically young people like in their early 20s. And one of the people on the season, they've been upsetting me a little bit. I haven't been the biggest fan, but I had to take a step back and realize this is a real human being. You know, this is somebody who is being vulnerable, putting themselves out on the line, and the same thing that I did when I was 18. So, it's something that after playing the show, I've recognized that it can be very difficult for, as a fan, to really realize what these people are going through and how it can affect them after the show too. Like, yeah.
I mean, I think it's escapism. I think a lot of, for people, I mean, I've read a lot about why people are rewatching Survivor, specifically during the pandemic and during quarantine. And, you know, I know for me, the equivalent is probably my love of the Bachelor franchise, which is complete escapism for me. I would never be on a Bachelor show. I mean, I'm not what they want anyways, but, I feel like it's fine if this is your escapism and you want to make comments about society or games or whatever through that. I think the discussion is really important, but at the same time, it can so easily cross a line, especially when you get tagged in something or get, you know, told something. And even though, you know, the people you're talking to feel like your escapism characters, they're people, and they're people that probably struggled on some level with the experience.
Absolutely.
And you were 18, so I can't even, because you and I saw each other after the show. We, the story behind that, real quick, is that we both lost the helicopter reward on Survivor, and we were on the beach. I remember this vividly. We were sitting in the sand, and Will and Adam were doing this thing where they were like, "Oh, you know, we're just so happy because, you know, Brett, they really wanted it," and they had the helicopter fly past our beach, purposely teasing us, and they were being so mature or playing good games or whatever. And I was like, "I'm not happy. I want to be in the helicopter. I want to be eating the food. I'm very mad about it." And Will, in a real reversal even at 18, turned to me and goes, "Hannah, it's okay. When we're done with this game, we'll go and we'll do a helicopter somewhere. We'll go to New York. We'll do a helicopter ride." And it made me feel better. And then when we got off the show, I visited Will in New York and we took a helicopter ride over the city. So it was, it was a great full circle.
It was a fantastic experience. As someone who's afraid of heights, though, that was freaky. Helicopters are freaky.
I was so excited.
Oh, it was cool.
I was thrilled.
It was cool, but it definitely forced me to get over that fear real quick. Oh my gosh.
I was so excited that the pilot had me sit next to him.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
I got a front row seat, and, you know, obviously that's a positive memory, but I know for me on my end, I was struggling a lot. And that was sort of, a point in which I was really about to start truly struggling with my mental health post show. But you mentioned before we started podcasting, you mentioned mental health after the show. So I would love to hear your experience, not just with mental health post show, but being an 18-year-old and dealing with the aftermath of Survivor.
Yeah. I think my whole mental health experience, I went through it alone, which, first of all, you should never do. Like, my first recommendation, just off the top, is if you ever go on a reality show, I don't care if it's Survivor, Big Brother, whatever, get a therapist. Talk to somebody before, talk to somebody after. It, like, oh my gosh, that would have changed so much in my life if I had somebody to come back to and talk to about this experience. And I did. I had my fellow castmates, and they really helped me through some things and being able to talk
about it. No, but your castmates are not therapists. Like,
exactly.
I'm so shocked that you did it without it. Okay, keep going.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, is that you can't do it just alone with other people. You need a professional, right? And that's why, you know, you may think like, oh, I could talk to my parents about this. I could talk to my friends about this. I could talk to castmates about this. But first of all, you shouldn't, you know, you should get a professional who can actually help you work through the actual problems that you may be facing, right? So yeah, absolutely. Number one, get a therapist. But even like my personal experience navigating this when I got back, it was just very difficult. And it was fine at first. At first I got back and I was like, it was like this high, right? You just felt
so... I can relate to that, yeah.
Yeah, you felt so amazing. And I felt like I wanted to travel the world. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a year off before going to college and just see the world. I didn't end up doing that. But I was just so much energy, so full of life and wanting to do so much. But I think when the show started to air, that high crashed. And I found myself trying to kind of pick up the pieces of where I was, who I was. And first of all, I want to say this has nothing to do with Jeff or the show. The show was an amazing opportunity. I have never regretted the opportunity.
It doesn't have anything to do with Jeff and the show, yeah. But I think that if the show puts an 18-year-old on, the responsible thing to do is to make sure that there's required and adequate mental health support after the show, including a therapist that's not connected to producers. So you can be positive about Survivor, and I feel like I'm pretty positive about my experience in the show. The show still has a responsibility to encourage mental health support afterwards, because you might think you know what you're signing up for, but truly you don't. So you were 18, and I think the show should have led you to therapy immediately.
Yeah.
You can disagree with me, but I'm just, no, I don't say... Yeah, keep going. But I think that as much as we can encourage the show to support contestants with their mental health, I think it's like encouraging something you love to be better.
Exactly. That's a great way of framing. I like that, is encouraging something you love to be better. Because I think the show did, yeah, like you said, provide a therapist. But yeah, somebody not connected to producers and try to get you in that direction, that'd be nice. Yeah, I think... we've seen mental health talked more about on the show. So I'm hoping that is the direction the show is going, because it seems like they do put a bigger emphasis on it in recent years. So I've been happy to see that. And like 40, that was a big conversation. So I'm glad to see that's kind of the direction it looks like they're going in. And yeah, but it was hard for me when I got back from the show to really try to, first of all, I don't think really anybody around me understood. I think people were mm-hmm. like, you were on a reality show. You had a shot at $1 million. You're now like, I don't want to say famous. People will say, oh, you're famous. And I roll my eyes at that. I had 15 minutes of fame on one season of a reality show. Yeah, I'm not famous. But to use the words of other people, they would say, oh, you got a little bit of fame. And mm-hmm. and it's like always a net positive. It's kind of how they see it from the outside looking in. But for me, it wasn't like that, right? It was this terrifying thing to navigate where all of a sudden – nobody knew who I was, and now nearly 10 million people know who I am, and they're judging me. They're talking about me. I remember my first semester of undergrad was when the show was airing, and I would get pictures from friends who, their friend, like mutual friends, friends of friends, would be taking pictures of me behind my back, like when I was in the dining halls and or when I was walking around campus. There'd be pictures of me like popping up on the internet or in different social groups of like, did you see this guy walking on campus? He was on Survivor. And I felt weird. I'm like, who around me knows who I am? Who around me is taking pictures about me or talking about me? I would go out to dinner with friends, and my friends would be like, yeah, I was walking to the bathroom and I overheard a group of people talking about you. And it made me paranoid. Like, I was so incredibly paranoid. Anywhere I went, I was like, do these people know who I am? Like, these people are looking at me funny. Why are they looking at me funny? What's going on? What are they saying about me? Are they taking pictures about me? Like, and then I would see on Reddit too, people would be posting about, oh, I saw Will on campus today. And that would freak me out. It was just so, the paranoia was extreme. And it got to the point that it wasn't even strangers that I was freaked out about. It was people who were close in my life that I was freaking out about. People who were some of my closest friends. Two people who I consider to be my brothers, right? I'm an only child, but these are the closest things to brothers I'm ever going to have in my life. I didn't talk to them for months. I cut them out of my life over a very stupid squabble that had nothing to do with anything. It really was me not being able to handle what happened on the show. And removing two very close people who I love and cherish out of my life for a long time. And I did eventually reconnect with them and kind of work through that. But it was... it was a very whirlwind of an experience. And I wish I did have a therapist to kind of help me work through those kinds of experiences, because the paranoia, the anxiety, it was something that I'd never had experienced before and wasn't prepared to deal with.
It can be such an isolating experience, especially when people around you think, oh, this has to only be a positive. And it's not that there aren't positives happening, but that they don't understand this like sort of underbelly. And at 18, this was like the main part of your identity too. You didn't have a family or a job or other, I mean, you had other passions, but not as developed as if you were like into your 20s or 30s.
Yeah. And I think that was something that really I struggled with for a very long time, because I was known on my freshman year floor as the survivor guy. People didn't know my name. People didn't know my name was Will. I was survivor guy or island boy or something like that. It was not, I didn't want that experience to define who I was as a person. And I started to feel like I lost who I was, and that my entire life was being defined by this, what, 7 weeks that I spent out in Fiji, you know, before and after filming and filming. Like, 7 weeks should not define my entire life and existence as a human being. And I remember being out on the island, and somebody, I'm not going to say who it was, but one of the cast members was jokingly said to me, you know, this is, you peaked in high school. This is your peak. And it was not me.
I can say that.
It was not Hannah. No, it was not Hannah. And this person was joking. They didn't mean it like
confidently say it was not me.
Yeah.
Who was it?
It was
okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But for me, I kind of made it my mission for that not to be my peak, right? I didn't want to peak in high school. I didn't want to peak on Survivor. I wanted to continuously grow and accomplish new things and do and experience things that define me more than Survivor did. Survivor was a great experience that I lived, but you know, in residence, I worked in residence life for a little bit, and we have an identity wheel, and there's these different things that help define you, and it can be things that are internal and external. Survivor and reality TV are not on that wheel. They're not on it for me. They're not on it for anybody, right? Because it's not what defines you as a person. It really, it goes deeper than that for me, at least. I don't know. I never wanted this to be the one defining piece of my life, that when I'm an old man and when I'm gone off this earth, I don't want the one thing people to remember me by as Survivor.
But even before you got to college, you immediately went back to high school. You went to prom.
Yeah. And prom was a whole experience, because that prom happened 2 weeks after I got back from the show. So I was just in a very weird headspace. I wasn't there. I felt bad for my date. You know, I feel really bad for my date, because I feel like I wasn't the most attentive prom date, because I was just so out of it. I was still a zombie, right? Hannah was, you know, as you were talking about earlier, I was kind of in zombie mode. I still was a little bit of a zombie. I was trying to reacclimate myself to this world that I had just re-entered. And to be honest with you, and this is how I describe my Survivor experience, is that I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Avatar, like with the...
I have, yes.
Yeah. So in one of the scenes...
Or at least I've seen parts of it. I've seen enough of it.
Okay. In one of the scenes, the guy talks about how the Avatar world is slowly becoming more and more real to him, and his real world's becoming less and less real. And that's how I felt on Survivor, that this Survivor, this island, was becoming more and more real as the days went on. And my home back in the States was becoming less and less real. And when I was thrown back into, you know, the States and prom and high school and graduation, I couldn't handle it, because to me, it was like I was living in a dream. This wasn't reality. Yeah. This wasn't what was real to me for the past 34 days of my life. So I couldn't really adapt. And it was definitely a tricky thing. What got me through that, though, was the fact that I was still on the high. I was still on the Survivor high before the crash happened. So I was really able to push through before college started. It was when college started that things started to get a little more dicey.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Before we get to fan questions, because we will, and we will keep talking as we get fan questions mixed in, but we talked a while ago, and obviously this is your words, not mine, but you sort of mentioned to me that you're quote unquote bad at it, whatever you want to call it, minimalistic edit, because I always say that in terms of edits and stuff, you know, you have the winner's story and they're trying to tell the story of why X person got on a beach and then won $1 million. And if you're not a part, if you're not a protagonist in that winner's story, or if you're against the winner, it all kind of determines the storytelling a little bit. Obviously, there can be underdogs against a winner. There's all these elements, but for the most part, you know, you weren't, you know, working with Adam to the end, and you weren't the winner. And so, you know, you described your edit being whatever, bad or whatever you want to describe it as. Obviously, you had great moments and people got to know you, but do you think ultimately that was helpful for you to kind of snap yourself out of this avatar switched reality thing to be like, I need real life to be good because this isn't perfect?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I never watched the show, our season.
You never watched our season?
I watched bits and pieces of it, and
whoa,
I couldn't do it, Hannah. I really couldn't do it.
Wow. What about it could you not do?
I think I just couldn't handle the fact of knowing that millions of people were watching this and that they were talking about me. And I feel bad because there were some people on my freshman year floor, they called it Will Wall Wednesdays, and they'd watch Survivor every Wednesday.
Aww.
And it was so nice. And it was so sweet. It was very nice of them, but I couldn't watch it with them. And I hope that didn't offend them, but I couldn't do it because even though I had that supportive group of people in the room, I couldn't help but think about what's everybody going to be saying online. I stopped listening to RHAP for a while too during that season. I'm back in it. I love RHAP. You can't keep me away. It was a downward spiral. Like 34, I watched a good portion of it, and then it was a little less every season that went on. Until 39, I think I watched maybe like one episode of it. Like I barely watched 39. But
you probably
40,
have the best impression of 39 than anyone.
Yeah. So I jumped back into it for 40. And I think the reason I was able to was twofold. One was for Adam. I wanted to see Adam play again. And I think the other reason was it brought me back to the old Survivor before I played. It was a lot of cast members,
yeah,
who were these winners from seasons I grew up watching and grew up idolizing these people. And I was able to see them play again. And that it definitely brought me back into a different headspace. I was no longer a former player. I was a fan when I was watching 40. And I hope that kind of snapped me out of it. I don't know what 41 is going to look like for me. I'm going to try my best to watch it, but it may get to a point where I'm just not able to watch 41. I don't know at this point, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it the old college try.
I mean, I think, you know, we've heard a variety of perspectives on here. I think I fall somewhere in the middle of a lot of them. But we have, like, on one end, we had Ozzy come on and talk about, like, how positive he feels overall. And obviously, Ozzy had a different experience than either of us. And Elaine and all these people. But I think, you know, I can relate to a lot of your thought process after the show. And I... obviously at 18, a benefit, I mean, we've talked about some of the ways in which it was difficult, but a benefit is that you get to go to college and then law school. I mean, you have a whole life in front of you that has nothing to do with Survivor. It's not like, you know, you're in the middle of your life and this is the most exciting thing. And then it's just kind of returning to your life. You sort of have the world open after the show.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love Survivor. It was an amazing experience and I would play in a heartbeat if they asked me, but I also know that if I don't get asked again, I do have a life that I can live. I have things going on in my life that give me purpose and meaning and that drive me to be better. So I see it both ways, right? Survivor was a great experience. I recommend it to anybody who's a fan. I have fans ask me all the time, like I love Survivor. Should I apply? And I tell them all the time, yes, absolutely apply.
You tell them to get a therapist after the show at the very least, Will.
That is the other big thing, though. You got to get the therapist. But it definitely, yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was life-changing. And I definitely don't think I would be where I'm at today. Actually, I know I would not be where I'm at today without Survivor. And it helped me grow. It was a little bit of trial by fire, though. And I think that's where having that extra support is so incredibly critical, because it can be life-changing for all the positive ways. And I think at this point in my life, I look at it as a net positive. I think it definitely has had a positive impact. I don't regret going out at all. I am so incredibly thankful to Jeff for giving me the opportunity.
Don't worry, he's not listening.
I'll still put that out there. I love Jeff. I do. I love Jeff. He really did.
I love Jeff too. I don't have any, I find him to be so excited and involved. And yeah. I know his involvement sometimes causes fans to be like, Jeff, we don't want all your fever dreams to come true on the show. But I think it comes from a place of excitement for him. And exactly. Listen, I don't think, I mean, someone can correct me, but I don't think I'm particularly negative. I'm just, I think I like hearing more honest conversations about what people went through. And, you know, I think one of the things is that there could be more support afterwards, especially if you have young people on the show. I want to get to these fan questions.
Okay.
I've been teasing them with their questions. Yeah, thank you to everyone who sent in fan questions. I am so thankful that so many people seem to be listening, or a couple really loyal listeners. It's one or the other. But regardless, y'all send in questions and it makes this podcast what it is, because I feel like we get so many great questions all the time. And some of these questions, you know, your fingers have been on the pulse. So if you don't hear your question, it's either because we covered it or because just a bunch of you guys sent in great questions. Let's see. It's so interesting because so many of these questions had their finger on the pulse. I'm just going to list some of the people that have said some great questions we've covered. For instance, we have KY Hove said, how did Survivor impact your college experience? Were you recognized a lot? Legitimately, what we just talked about, we had I declare bankruptcy, a great office quote, say, why do young people lie about their age? Did you consider it? You did talk about, we've talked about why people lie about their age. Did you consider, Will, lying about your age?
I didn't, because I clocked it as an age season. I did during casting. So we were in a group of very young people. And then in addition to that, because I was so young, I kind of knew, and the questions that were being asked that Jeff was asking me, I kind of knew was age. So for that reason, I didn't lie, because I'm like, oh, there's probably going to be other young 20 people, maybe even other teenagers out there. And then I was sorely mistaken when I realized that there was a pretty big age gap. So
STY Dings 2425 asked, what does Will think his archetype would be if he was applying for Survivor now? Great question.
That's a fantastic question.
I don't
really know, because I wouldn't classify myself as a super fan anymore if I'd missed the past 10 seasons or not 10, but approaching that number. I think
good point. Cause Will used to be the Survivor encyclopedia out there. He'd be like, this is probably the challenge we're doing.
I was
to be fair, he was wrong quite often, and we would practice a challenge we were not walking into. But still, I liked his encyclopedia of knowledge.
I think I had a higher expectation for myself in that regard too. But I couldn't be the Survivor encyclopedia. I think I would probably be Maybe the law student. I feel like lawyers and law students are kind of becoming their own archetype in a way. You see that a lot. And they're, you know, I don't know. Maybe that would be the archetype.
Student. I like that. Chels Rich wants to know, does he wish he would have waited a few years to go on now that he's older?
So in a perfect world, yeah, I would like to play a 23-24, but when Jeff gives you the call, you answer. And I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity. I knew second I turned 18, I was going to apply, and the first chance I got, I was going to take it.
Yeah, they're looking for something specific each season. And so it is a thing of like, you know, for some people, maybe the door is open for longer, but for others, and I'm not saying Will is or is not in this category, the door opens for a specific reason. So he walked through it.
I think it definitely did open for a specific reason. I would like to think that, I don't think at this stage of my life I would have enough to really push me over the edge into the cast, but I think give it a couple years, if I was in my 30s, I might be able to do it again, but hopefully, fingers crossed. I don't know.
Joshua I. Durham wants to know, what was, oh, is this a friend?
Yes. I go to law school with him. Yeah.
Oh, your law school classmate wants to know, what was your first impression of Will? Oh, this is for me. And would it change if you just met him now? Thank you so much, Joshua, Will's friend. I think this is for me, because I think we're not talking, you're not speaking in third person about yourself. Well, my first impression was that just that he was so young. I mean, there is just something about being told someone's in high school, because I immediately thought of myself in high school. And again, what a fucking mess I would have been. But then, while we were out there, you know, Will and I had a lot of like very calm conversations when we did get to talk. Like, I remember very early on sitting on like some sort of, you know, raft in the dark and sort of just chatting. I think we were chatting even about like Aubrey and Ko Rong, and we were just talking about life, because I wasn't really talking to Will about strategy at that point. And yeah, just met this like very calm, thoughtful 18-year-old. And I think specifically something I've said about Will is that he's someone who, I don't know if it's because he was 18 or just because of who he is, he seemed very open to different ideas and things and about evolving his beliefs. I think you meet a lot of people, especially on a reality show, that's why people get cast on reality shows, that are very stubborn. I mean, Will talked about not knowing who he was, but I think even that acknowledgement is good, because I think a lot of people are very stubborn in their beliefs and who they are, especially when they're cast on national television. And Will and I had some really, you know, we didn't necessarily agree, not necessarily, we didn't agree politically, we didn't agree on a lot of things, but Will was someone who I was always open to having conversations with, because it felt like we were actually listening to each other. And even at 18, like I remember coming off and being at Ponderosa and talking to him about not thinking I lost because of this reason, but mentioning sort of perception and sexism. And a couple months later, Will called me up and was like, I kind of see what you were talking about. Not that he agrees with that fully, but that he understood where I was coming from and had felt defensive when I brought it up at Ponderosa. And that's not a call I got from any of the other adults, you know, like that's a call I got from an 18-year-old being like, I thought you were calling me sexist, but actually here's how I understand what you're saying now. And here's why I do. So yeah, my impression of Will at 18 was very much like, this is good that this person doesn't fully know who he is. And then how would it change if I met him now? I mean, it's completely different. I feel like I'm still re-meeting Will, because I still think of Will as young Will, though. I feel like the little like floppy haired teenager I met is like, you know, it's always thing. But yeah, obvious. I think probably the same thing I just said, though. I hope he's, you know, you still have I'm talking about you as if you're not here, because I'm talking to Joshua now. That sense of like a willingness to not change your beliefs. Obviously, you believe things strongly, but I don't know, like an openness about hearing different people's perspectives. And it's something I always respected. But I definitely agree with Will that if you came into a situation at 24, even versus 18, you know, you're naturally gonna be perceived with a little bit more respect and understanding. And I was not one of the people that said to him or believed like, oh, I would never have voted for you to win. But I definitely could see harm in giving $1 million to an 18-year-old. And I'm so sorry to all the teenagers listening. But I think it's a big responsibility. And there's exceptions to rules, but that's important. Was that that was a monologue. And see. I don't know. Yeah.
I think Josh will love that answer.
Okay, Josh, I hope you like that answer. And yeah, we've had a lot of great conversations about things across political aisles and across different beliefs, you and I.
Yeah, I really like how you articulate your points. I think it really just, it makes sense to me. So I try to listen to everybody's points, but sometimes it makes more sense to me coming from certain people than other people. And I feel like with you, I get where you're coming from and I really understand it. So.
Yeah. And we've talked about some of the most, you know, divisive issues. We won't get into it, but we've actually had conversations about those issues, which I think usually kind of devolves into screaming matches or not listening with other people. So yeah, that's my impression. And yeah, I hope you still feel like you're figuring out the world, because I do. And I feel like the best people are still, you know, strong in their beliefs, but open to, I don't know, not stubbornly clinging to an identity.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're getting to more questions, because y'all asked lots and lots of questions, which is great. I'm going to go to some Twitter questions now. We got Instagram. We got Twitter. We got all the ways to... yeah, Zeke asked if you regretted not taking him to prom.
I regret it every day. I do.
Yeah, you should.
Loved...
Your poor prom date.
Yeah, no, I loved everything. If you haven't seen that Ponderosa video with Zeke where he asked me to prom, that was amazing. I loved everybody at Ponderosa too. That was a very welcoming experience. So.
Oh, there's so many great ones. A lot of people also asked about considering playing older. Jackson Farnsworth wants to know, my question is, how did you stand out in the casting process while being a high schooler and in the game? How were you able to establish yourself so well despite your age?
Yeah, making myself stand out was kind of like what I touched upon a little bit earlier, is just really knowing what they want and also kind of seeing that in yourself. Like, don't lie during casting. They will see through that. Like, Jeff is smart. He will see through it if you're lying. But you know yourself. If you do know yourself, then you can kind of take your personality and kind of shine through the parts of it that they may want to see. So I took my age, which was a big part of my identity at the time, and really tried to shine that through. How was me being 18? How did that affect my experience in the world? How did I see the world? I talked a lot about being the young person who was going to vote out and outsmart all the older people. And I talked about that from my very first audition tape well before I knew it was age. Think about the other archetypes. I think sometimes people think a lot about their own archetype, but think about the other archetypes that get casted, the people who are different than yourself, and how do you fit that puzzle? Because they're trying to, you know,
that's a great, great advice.
Yeah.
All right. Philip Thompson wants to know, hi, Hannah and Will, would you guys like to see another generation Survivor season? Maybe millennials versus Gen X versus Gen Z, and who would win? Your season is still one of my faves. Thanks so much, Philip.
Yeah. Thank you, Philip. I love what I saw in Millennials Gen X. It looked like a great season, but like I said, I watched very little. But
wild.
Yeah. I think it could be interesting to do another age divided season. I could also see like the three tribes. I think is interesting. It's an interesting concept to do like Gen X, Millennial, and Gen Z on one season. I think that could be kind of an interesting twist to the age division that we've seen before. Who would win? I would say definitely millennials, but to be honest with you, I kind of fall in the middle of millennials and Gen Z. So one of those two. I'll go for one of those two.
Yeah, I feel like the show loves youth. So I feel like Gen Z would probably have a leg up, because Probst likes being cool, and like millennials aren't cool anymore. At the time, with millennials Gen X, Probst loved our tribe. Like, oh, yeah. He was into our young tribe, and like, we were the cool young people, but we're not anymore. Maybe I never was, but so I don't know. I think Gen Z would have some edge. Nate Carden asks, did your castmates take you seriously despite your age? It was frustrating to see the edit often not take you seriously, either infantilizing you, only milk for Will, or overlooking your game moves, like fake writing a vote for Hannah to dupe Adam into playing his idol. And relatedly, how much of a trap is it that Probst is so anxious for more teenagers to play, even though they're likely to be pigeonholed by the edit, parentheses, and maybe players because of their age? Thanks, Nate, for asking some questions.
I'm going to answer the last one first, because I don't think it's a pigeonhole. I think it actually goes to what you were just talking about. I think Jeff loves young people, and I think they're looking for that young person who can break free from that, like, I guess, pigeonhole, if you want to call it that, and really show up as a character and be that storytelling, you know, beast that they're looking for, right? They want somebody who's young but can tell a good story, kind of like a Spencer Bledsoe, probably, but even younger. If they could find like an 18-year-old Spencer Bledsoe, I think that's like Jeff's dream right now. So I think that's why they're looking for so many young people, if I had to guess, but that's just my speculation. And then what was the first question again? Sorry, I just want to make sure I get it right.
The first question was about the edit infantilizing. Oh, no, the first one was, did your castmates take you seriously? And then the edit sort of infantilizing you or overlooking you.
Yeah, I think in terms of my castmates taking me seriously, I think it was a mixed bag. I think Hannah took me seriously. I think there were certain people, I think probably more of the millennials did. I think Sunday took me very seriously. I think Sunday and I had a very tight bond out there. I think Brett did too, you know, spending time with me on Ikabula. I think it was more so the people who didn't get to know me as well, and maybe the people who got out on jury a little earlier, who may have taken me less seriously once I was kind of removed. I feel like maybe watching me at tribal council, you remember, oh, he's just an 18-year-old. But talking to me and having a conversation, you remember I'm a little older. So being more removed from me in that social aspect, I think those people took me a little less seriously. Not any fault of their own. It's just kind of the nature of the game.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
And then you didn't obviously watch the edit, but do you feel like you were pigeonholed a little bit, like he said?
Yeah. Like the, you know, milk or soft drinks for Will thing. I think it's all in good fun. I appreciate my edit for what it is. I really do. I know it was not one of the more quote unquote favorable ones, but I think we talked about before, Adam was the winner. How does my story relate to Adam's? And it was Adam's story, right? And even David too, to a large degree. And I didn't really relate to David's story that much either. So I think because I didn't relate to either one of their stories as much, I think I received a very fair edit. I think I was a little bit of a comic relief character who had a big explosive ending. And I think at where I was at that point in my life at 18, I think it was fair. Do I wish certain strategic moments like me writing the fake vote for Hannah? That was my favorite move that I did in the game. So the fact that that didn't make the air, I was a little bit upset about, but I understand it's a 45 minute
TV show. I remember that. I remember sitting there being like, he's definitely writing my name. He's doing the thing, but it was all fake. Yeah, it's interesting. I think you hit the nail on the head with Probst. I think we kind of combined found this of like Probst loves youth and the show loves youth. I mean, it wants to continue. Like I said earlier, it's a TV show first. And finding an 18-year-old or someone young who is that dynamic storyteller and has that life experience, I think the issue is, like I said, I thought I was more interesting at 18 than I was. I still think I'm more interesting than I am. But at 18, I definitely did. You know, as an audience member, I think the show is, I mean, it's this, it might be a different game with a monster, whatever's being promised for 41, but it's a similar game. And the thing that makes it interesting are these different perspectives and life experiences that's harder to have accumulated by 18. That's like part of it as a viewer. The other thing is I really feel like the mental health thing is really important to discuss when you discuss having teenagers on the show. I know I even spoke to Spencer about it a while ago on his podcast and off his podcast. But, you know, it is such a it can be a positive experience and have these elements, but it really can be difficult, as you've talked about. And that is highlighted by you being 18.
Yeah.
Dan Coleman wants to know, who was your favorite supervisor at Ohio State? Was it Dan? Smiley face.
Oh my gosh, Dan. Yes, that is my former boss. I love Dan. Dan was fantastic. Great boss. Love you, Dan. Thank you.
I'm going through all these questions. y'all had so many. I'm not even going to get to everybody's. And a lot of it is too, because we covered some of it through the podcast. Nick Phillips 7 wants to know, were you disappointed that you can't have, beer so that you couldn't have beer? Were you bummed that you couldn't get drunk in Fiji with us?
I was kind of a goody two shoes and I never really drank before turning 21. So
that's just following the law, Will.
Again,
that's not being a goody two shoes.
Back to this like high schooler having to obey authority. I don't know what it is, but yeah, no, I wasn't too disappointed. I was like, okay, whatever. At first I was a little surprised about it, but then I realized it's a family show. You don't want that happening. So I understood where they were coming from.
Cheery Cherry 7 wants to know, how would Will's game have changed had he not said he was 18?
Gotcha. If I had not said I was 18, I think I would, honestly, I think the biggest difference is I wouldn't have been as insecure myself later on in the game. I think I would have felt more secure because I wouldn't have felt that, oh, people are looking down on me because of my age. Because even if I was 20, it's like, okay, like, people may be willing to give a 20-year-old college student money versus an 18-year-old high school student. So I was like, that fear would have subsided a little bit. And I think that might have given me some clarity. I don't know if it would have resulted in me winning the game, but I think it would have resulted in me making a less than sloppy move. But I kind of like the sloppy move I made. It kind of gave me a little bit of a interesting ending. So I'm okay with how everything turned out.
I wish I had said I was 85.
I don't
stuck
think anyone
with
would
that,
have
no matter
that.
How many. Yeah, but what if I so committed to it? They're like, "Why are you on the Millennial Tribe? Why are you on the Millennial Tribe?" What if I just Jeff would have been so annoyed at me if I had just committed to saying I was 85. That's my biggest regret. You know, we got so many questions, but so many of these have covered things we've covered. I'm glad the things y'all were interested in are things we talked about. This is my first person from season 33 on Just My Archetype. I hope this was an interesting conversation. And Will, how was it reflecting back? I mean, it doesn't sound like you dip your toe in the Survivor world that much.
I don't. I'm pretty far removed. But I really do appreciate any chance I get to talk about it. I feel like every podcast I do, I get a little bit more open about what my experience was. And I think this is definitely the big one where I think I talked about a lot of what was going on right after. And part of that is because Hannah and I go way back. You know, I feel comfortable with Hannah.
We do go way back.
Yeah. And I appreciate what you're doing here with this podcast, really, both the positive and the negative, because it exists for everybody. And I think we really do need to kind of have these conversations. So I do appreciate getting the opportunity to talk about mental health a little bit and just the good things too, the fun memories too, because there's a ton of fun memories.
There were so many. Like Will, yeah, Will and I were, you know, we were friends on the island. We check in every, I don't know, 4 to 6 months. I feel like we were like, how's shit going? Like, what's up? And I'm so glad to hear that you like you're in law school and you're doing so well. And I think it's good that, you know, despite, you know, your mixed experience, I think it's good that you went straight to college and didn't let Survivor be the focus for a year. It sounds like you just got yourself right on track and went forward into the world. Yeah. Season 33. I mean, I'm glad that this was the cast I got to be a part of, you know?
We were a fun cast. I think we really all cared about each other in a way that I wish all casts were like that, but they aren't, unfortunately, but I'm glad ours was.
Yeah. I'm glad that there was some underlying care there, throughout the cast. And I so appreciate you coming on this podcast. Are there any other things you want to say before we wrap this up?
No.
About the teenager life, anything?
Yeah, no, just thank you to all the questions. I think a lot of them really touched upon some deep topics, and I really do appreciate that. I always get the same basic 3 or 4 questions all the time. So these dove a little deeper, and I greatly appreciate that. So thank you all.
Where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram. They can also find me on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm at window to wall. And then at Instagram, I think I'm will_wall. So yeah, you can find me there.
And if you want to tweet at me or Instagram at me or TikTok at me, I'm at Hannah Lil Nesson. I hope that I don't face a mob of angry teenagers after this. I always will feel protective of people who go on the show. And I think especially when we start talking about teenagers, I think I get more protective. And I also think your perspective has only added to my idea that it's okay to, you know, live your life a little bit and learn a bit about who you are before going on national television or doing anything, you know? Yeah. But this has been the teenager archetype. Will has gotten to reflect back 5 years later on what it was like being a milk drinking teen on the hardcore beaches of Fiji, and how it's interesting to hear you be like, yeah, that was my 18-year-old self reflected back. And those were some 18-year-old thoughts. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. If you liked this, tweet at us, Instagram at us. People don't TikTok at people. I don't think that's a thing.
I don't think. Look at us millennials. We'd have no idea what this Gen Z stuff is.
Oh, my gosh. So if you can TikTok at us, TikTok at us. And let us know what you think. And please listen in next time. This is Just My Archetype. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.